its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Many thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore. The United States and Canada face a lot of problems, but getting along with each other, for the most part, is not one of them. Canada is our biggest trading partner. The border is long and mostly safe, and millions of Americans and Canadians live and work in each other's countries. But could America and Canada be even closer? A prominent Canadian writer is promoting a bold linkage between the U.S. and our neighbors to the north, and current state Scott Pohl is here with more. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Mark. What would you think of merging the United States and Canada? Could never happen, right?
It could never happen, but what a conversation starter.
Well, Diane Francis says it's time for us to rethink that. Francis calls herself a merger. She was born and raised in Chicago. She married a Canadian at the age of 19 and has lived in Canada ever since. She's based in Toronto, where she's editor-at-large for the Financial Post, but she keeps a place in Manhattan. Francis has written a book suggesting a merger between allies. It's called Merger of the Century: Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. I recently asked Diane Francis to explain her idea.
My thesis is that these countries going forward, with Russia, China, and so on looming all around us, need each other economically, get along well enough, and should be at least opening up the border like the Europeans have done, where you stay separate countries, but you have no border issue. And I don't have to talk to you folks where you live, but that ambassador bridge has been a crazy choke point that, as long as we don't have a binational cooperation or some kind of government structure to deal with the border, has been a nightmare and hasn't been fixed for years and should have been. So that's the basic overlying theses behind the book. And then I go into the synergies. If these two countries not politically merged, but got their economies completely economically merged, the low-hanging fruit, the synergies would be awesome, create millions of jobs. Canada also has an Arctic the size of Australia that is empty, full of buried treasure. Canada does not have the money to develop it, does not have the defense to defend it. The Russians have declared the Arctic is Russian. The Chinese have targeted our resources. We need our partner, the United States, and we need him more than ever before. And the U.S. needs the opportunities that Canada and the resources and the other things that Canada can afford them. The book goes through a thought experiment, and I do five different economic models, ranging from a full-on German-type merger, what that would look like, to a joint venture in the Arctic, and all kinds of other things, a customs monetary union where you get rid of the border altogether. And then I look at some, political models, and then I talk about how the politics would be impossible.
All right. Well, listen, let's imagine a world where we are one with Canada.
Yeah.
Where would that economy fit in the global economy?
If Canada and the U.S. ever got their act together, think about it. Canadian resource, opportunities, Marshall Plan in the north, with American technology, manpower, know-how. Our population's also aging, by the way. We need people. If you combine those things and the military power and all of that, you would have the superpower of superpowers. And for starters, the two countries combined have more oil and natural gas than all of the Middle East combined or Russia. So I wrote a piece in the New York Post about how we should get together on liquefied natural gas exports and just crush the Russians wherever they need competition, Europe, Asia. That's going to happen. That should happen, but it would happen faster if we had a open border or open mind toward collaborating on all kinds of things, which we don't do now. The land mass, it would be the size of South America. We would have more arable farmland, more water, more resources of every kind, more energy, and the biggest economy by far of anybody in the world. So our values, which are very worthwhile compared to a lot of nations, our values would be protected by getting bigger, because we could then withstand the forces that are all around us in the world. China is not a bad country, but they're aggressive. They have to make a living. And Russia has a leader that is not a nice guy, and they're trying to make a living. And so it's not just them, it's the Arabs and so on. So I talk a lot in the book about what I call the new Cold War, And that is how our multinational companies go out in the world and compete against the Chinese and the Russians. The Russians and the Chinese cheat because they have their governments helping them, and they're protectionists, and they just plain cheat. And they bribe, and they do all kinds of things because our guys are Boy Scouts and their guys aren't. So we have got to get our ducks in order. And I think there's no two countries that are as compatible. The other problem is the border is broken. We have a thickening of the border. I don't have to tell you, you're a border state. This is a problem. And we're getting manufacturing moving to the United States from Canada because the border is a problem when you're delivering just in time. So, you know, we've got to fix it. Our tourism is a mess because the border is a problem. Hard for Americans to get in because they need a passport. We've got to talk about this. U.S. has to talk about it. Canada has to talk about it.
Your model, I understand, would make Quebec a commonwealth like Puerto Rico as opposed to one of the states. Why is that?
Well, no, my model just says if we did a German full-on merger politically, this is how it would work. The federal government in Canada would disappear. The 13 state provinces and territories would ask for accession as states into the United States. Quebec, because of its differences, distinctiveness, its language restrictions, it does a lot of things differently than Canada, for sure, might want to say, well, we don't want to be a state. We want to keep a lot of control. We want to be like Puerto Rico, a commonwealth. And that could be accommodated. I just throw that out there in a thought experiment. I just want people to read this book and think and come up with their own ideas and say, now that won't work. Well, that might work. Well, that's interesting. No, she's not. That can't work. Or here's an idea. And so this is to start a conversation in the United States about Canada. And the United States has a lot of ignorance about Canada, and a conversation in Canada where there's a tinge at the top end, the elites of anti-Americanism, and I find that offensive, and I want them to stop thinking like that and start realizing that they need the United States, and the United States needs Canada.
I wanted to talk with you about the Ontario-Michigan effect, three international border crossings. Have you had a chance to, while looking at all of Canada and all of the United States, have you had a chance to examine Ontario and Michigan specifically?
Well, yeah, I have a whole chapter on the craziness over the Ambassador Bridge, Detroit-Windsor Bridge, and how there's layers and layers of political jurisdictions. A bridge owner who knows how to game the system politically and through the law, through the courts, and has tied this up all the time. He's making more and more money every year. There should have been an expropriation of that bridge because it's owned by both countries. They should have expropriated, paid the man what he deserved 20 years ago, and we would have had an expanded new Ambassador Bridge, and there would have been no choke point. This is the most important border crossing from a trade point of view for both countries, in the world as well, in terms of the dollars crossed. And we can't get a bridge that works properly. And now Canadian taxpayers are going to have to build a second bridge, which may or may not be used. We're putting up $2 billion. They're still dickering over in Michigan and the legislature. The governor's been supportive and the one before, all of that. But I don't have to tell you how contorted your political system is. And this has been the problem. Add to it the legal problems, all the lawyers and the litigation. And I mean, The guy has gamed the system beautifully, and he's worth, you know, a few billion dollars as a result.
What are the constitutional roadblocks, the U.S. Constitution, the Canadian Constitution? How could this be achieved?
I have a model about what it would look like if we joined forces. It's a simple majority in Congress, a statehood accession. So basically, you would have Canada with 13 states apply to accede to become part of the United States. But that won't happen unless there's a crisis, because that's too torturous. The political systems are very different. I happen to think, knowing both systems, the parliamentary system is better than the U.S. system for many reasons. But, you know, are you going to get anybody to give up the Constitution of the United States? I don't think so. It's almost like the Bible down there. What you do is you do what the Europeans do. You keep your own countries, your own health care, legal systems, all that stuff. But could it be done? Yes, the Germans did it. The Germans did it in 1990 because there was a crisis, and they just moved heaven and earth. And I explain how they did it, And it wouldn't be any different here, but you have to have a crisis. Canadians are not going to want to give up what sovereignty they have. They're not going to, not unless they have to, and not unless they're paid out. Now, another model I did in the book was how much the if you join full forces, I looked at it as though they were two companies and an investment banking model and how much Canadians would have to be paid for the resources that they would bring into a partnership. It's a lot of money. But it would be, of course, totally worthwhile. The Germans paid a huge amount of money to get East Germany to come in with them as a merged partner, and so the same thing would apply here. But you know, there's the Second Amendment stuff. There's all kinds of differences. Our legal system is better because the loser pays, so we don't have frivolous litigation. We don't have ambulance chaser lawyers suing everybody in sight just to get a settlement on the doorsteps of the court. We don't have that because if they bring a suit and they lose, they pay the expenses, and very often the judge will say, and you'll pay the public's expenses too. So that stuff doesn't happen. That's a better system. I think the healthcare system in Canada is far superior, but you have to nationalize everything to have a far superior healthcare system. You can't have the private sector. You can't have the profit motive. But you're making steps through Obamacare. May not be the right thing to do, but you're at least starting to recognize the human right of healthcare for everybody. And so that's the beginning, and you'll figure it out, but it'll take a while.
It's interesting to note that, Diane Francis, your book is called Merger of the Century, in that we have many years left in this century to achieve this merger, right?
That's why I called it that. You got it. I think the way the world is going to shake out, I mean, who knows, but basically, middle-sized countries, and people don't think of Canada as a small country, but it's one-tenth the size economically of the United States. It's smaller than Brazil now, smaller than Spain. And, you know, it probably won't make the G20 cut in 10 years' time because it bubbles along, but it's not growing like Thailand or something. So you've got a middle country with virtually no military protection. Canada cannot protect itself. It relies on NORAD and the U.S. for free to, sort of patrol the Arctic and the coastline and so on. And we have a military smaller than Singapore's. And so if you don't have muscle, nobody listens to you. And Canada and small countries, of which there most are, have to rely on multilateral processes, the G20, the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, and those things are fantastic, and I'm glad they've happened, but they're not going to protect you. They're not protecting Ukraine or Crimea. They're not going to protect Canada if it comes to that. So, you know, we all have to find cover in regions, strong, powerful regions, and I got to tell you, being next to the United States is the best thing Canada ever did. Not that it did it, but so you've got this huge, powerful, non-acquisitive, benign superpower next to you who really just likes you. And we like them, and I'm just saying, hey, let's go with what works. We've been dating. Let's live common law.
Diane Francis is author of Merger of the Century, Why Canada and America Should Become One Country. Thank you for talking with us.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Really appreciate the time you've given me.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.